God bless you. That's my elephant. You. Somebody say word.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I've been given the task of introducing somebody I've known all of his life. But you have on in your programs his autobiography, but I'll let you read that. I'll just sum up a few things about him. But pretty much, Sean Christopher Jenkins is the second child of Reverend Frederick and Adrian Jenkins. In 2016, Sean graduated from Tennessee State University with a Bachelor's of Engineering in Computer Science. Since he's graduated, he's obtained about 7+ years of work experience as a QA analyst, working for companies such as Bank of America, 40AU, and Ernst & Young. Recently, Sean just got accepted into the Master's of Divinity program at Colgate Rochester Crozier Divinity School. Ever since Sean's junior year is when he truly accepted his call. And ever since then, he's been like a little sponge. I mean, he reads, he's constantly reading, he's constantly just, like I said, he's like a sponge, so he's constantly just studying to show thyself approved. Now, if you pray, Sean will give you a word. So after the next election, I present to most and introduce to some, none other than our son, Sean Christopher Jenkins.
Amen. And before the choir come, I want to say this. It's coming into Columbia. A lot of time I come in, I look at the, right down here on the corner, used to be King's Transmission. It has an acronym. It says G-U-M. And the acronym stands for God Use Me. So today, I want to let you all know that that's why I'm up here asking God to use me as one of his vessels. And then Brother Sean is going to come. So I want you to do this for Brother Sean before the choir sings the song. I want you to bow your heads. And I want you to just say to the Lord, Lord, fill this vessel full of power. Sister Minister Natasha preached that last Sunday, a vessel full of power. A vessel is no good if it doesn't have anything in it. So we're asking you, Lord, to fill Brother Sean this morning full of your power.
Amen. Y'all lucky I'm preaching. I would have sung today. That's my song, man. That's one of my songs right there. All right, so let's go ahead and get to it. First of all, I got a lot to say. I'm going to keep this as short as possible. Y'all got to go to my YouTube channel to get more. Like, I talk a lot on my social media pages. But like you guys saw, the theme of Lay Day. So congratulations to all the people in Lay. You know what? Go ahead and stand up if you're in Lay. If you're in Lay, stand up. Let's give them a hand clap. All right, so and the people you see standing up, these are the people who do the things around the church. This is how things get done. So thanks to them, things get done. So thank you so much, guys. All right. So the theme that, for Lay Day is living a global witness ministry that transforms and transcends and liberates. And the text was Luke 4:18-19, so you guys read that text. But I'm going to hit you guys with another one. What am I going to title the lesson? I still don't know what the title is, because like this is my first time doing it. But the title of today's lesson is Make Sure to Pass the Baton in This Eternal Divine Relay. Amen. Make sure to pass the baton in this eternal divine relay. So I couldn't come up with titles. Like, some of my titles was like Pass the Baton of Faith to the Next Generation. Make sure to carry your baton of faith to your generation. Or somebody has to drop the baton. That would have been a good title. But yeah, so that's where I'm going at. So the text I'm coming from is Hebrews 12 verses 1 through 4 from the New International Version Bible. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 through 4 from the New International Version Bible. All right, so therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Let us run with endurance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. All right, so as you guys saw in my bio, I ran track. I hated every moment of track in college. High school was fun because the track coach asked me, you know, if I wanted to run track in high school. Long story short, the agreement was I didn't have to run. All I had to do was just jump. So I did the high jump, right? So that's what I specialized in. And in college, I thought I could, it was going to be the same thing, but it wasn't. My coach was Cassandra Cheeseboro at Tennessee State University. She's an Olympian. And so as soon as I came on, she said, nah, you're going to run. She said, you got to run. You got to train to get your body right to be able to jump high heights. And so I didn't believe her until I had to clear about 7'6", 10". Like that was, you need a lot of energy clearing that height when you're short like me. And you got to start off with 6 foot. So as your starting height. So, yeah. All right. But anyways, so like running, it relates to life. So God speaks through creation all the time. He's speaking and telling you how everything's operating, how he works through creation every single moment of every single day. Right. And so with running, I want to ask everybody a question. Who likes to run? Right. Raise your hand if you like running. You like, okay, he's a track runner. All right. So some people, all right. Most people hate running, right? Running relates to life. Like, running is hard. Running is stressful. Running takes a lot of work. Life takes a lot of work, right? So life, just for example, it takes work just to keep your body in shape, right? It takes work just to keep from having a beer belly. I feel like that's what everybody's trying to stay away from is a beer belly, right? It takes work just to pay off your bills, just to make ends meet, like, because, you know, everything's just getting more and more expensive with inflation, right? So, like, man, you got to work just to make money, just to pay bills, and then you got to, like, balance that out with life. So how many people even get to balance that out with life? Like, how many people are actually living and experiencing life, or are you just working all the time, right? So, like I said, you know, running hurts, especially when you're out of shape, right? And then especially when you drink soda. That's when I haven't drunk soda since high school, really. I may have like a tiny sip every 3 years, like a little snip of a sip of a soda. But I stopped doing it because when I ran track in college, my lungs would cave in. And like, you know what I mean? And you cramp on your lungs and your ribs. So you ever wondered why you will cramp when you run? It's because you drink soda. And you're drinking the wrong things, eating the wrong things. So obviously when you run, it's going to hurt worse. Right. And so, so the Hebrew writer, nobody knows who wrote the book of Hebrews. It's debatable. Some people think it's Paul, but the writer is telling us to run with endurance. Right. In the same way of the ones that ran before us. So before Hebrews 12, we have Hebrews 11, which is the hall of faith. That's what it's called. The hall of fame of faith. So the people that ran before us showed us how to run the race. Right. The race that's set before us. So. Yeah, so in saying that, I want to ask everybody, what does success look like to you? So a lot of people think, like, you know, success and accomplishing anything in life is making it to the NBA, you know, being a celebrity, you know, making millions of dollars, being a billionaire, you know, being a CEO of a company or having all the men and women in the world and doing what they want to them. That's what some people think success is, right? But what is the mission for a believer? What did God call each and every single one of us to do? To save souls, to reach people for Christ, to lead people, lead the lost and fill them with hope that Jesus, you know, fills them with, right? So I don't care what you accomplish in this world or how successful you are in the world's eyes. If you fail to tell people about Jesus, and you fail to lead people to Christ, if you fail to expand the kingdom of God here on this earth and get people to heaven, what have you really accomplished worthwhile in this life, right? So passing the baton is essential to win in life and win this race, right? This eternal race, right? So let me talk about the relay race real quick. So like I said, I did the high jump. I didn't have to do relays at all. I did have to do 100 meters, 200, 400, stuff like that in college. I hated 400 was the worst. 400 is a man's race. But like, and I remember I said I hate running, right? So like, I just like the high jump. That's what I specialize in. I'm going to tell y'all about that in a minute. But let me talk about the relay race. So a relay race is run by a team of four runners. The first runner carries a baton, right? And after running a specific distance, so it could be a 400 meter, 200 meter, 300, 400, whatever, right? So after running a specific distance called a leg, the runner hands the baton to the next team member, right? And the exchange must occur within the zone of a few meters long. It's called the exchange zone, right? And so in Olympic times, it normally lasts 1.9 seconds, and it's normally 20 meters, right? So timing is crucial, obviously, when it comes to passing the baton, right? You only have a certain amount of time you get to pass the baton. And if you don't pass the baton within the zone, the exchange zone that you're allowed to pass the baton in, what happens? You get disqualified. Your whole team gets disqualified. So in saying that, it doesn't matter how fast you are. It doesn't matter how good all you guys look. It doesn't matter, you know, if you guys were the best people coming into the race, right? If you don't pass the baton within the time frame that you're supposed to, what happens? You get disqualified. So like I said, timing is crucial, right? So God's perfect timing, right? So obviously I'm trying to say don't miss your moment. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss this moment of life that God has given you, right? Let's go back to Hebrews 12 real quick. All right, so Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. God has marked out a race for each and every single one of us. And our races look different. I told you guys, I did the high jump. That's what I was great at. I did the high jump. They tried to throw me in the triple jump and the long jump. And let me tell you what happened in the long jump, man. Like, the long story short, when I did the long jump, I used to run. And as soon as I popped up off the board, I would jump so high up in the air, I would hear the whole crowd, because how high I jumped. But as soon as I landed in the sand, the whole crowd said, because it was so ugly. They said, how he jumped so high, but can't go that far, right? Because that wasn't the race marked out for me, right? Same thing for the 100 meters. Like, it's so funny, like, because, like, honestly, I'm the fastest person coming out, because I got to be, right? So coming out, I could beat Usain Bolt. I could be the fastest person ever to exist, for sure, coming out, right? But I have no endurance. It's called getting a monkey on your back. So when I used to run the 400 meters, 300 meters, they used to pair me. It used to be so embarrassing, too. They used to pair me with the two fastest girls on the track team at Tennessee State University. The two fastest, right? They're slow compared to me. Like, nobody's, I mean, come on, I'm real athletic. I've been dunking since I was 13. But, like, coming out, like, it looked like, man, Sean, dang, man. Oh, he's so fast. But as soon as I hit the curve on 400 meter, 300 meter, anything long like that, even 200, right? As soon as I hit the curve, I get tired. It's called getting a monkey on your back where you can't go any faster, right? So I only got like one speed. What I seen in 100 meters, if anybody did the 100 meters, them people got like 5, 6, 8 different gears. Like, so they got a starting speed, they got another speed, then they got another speed, and it keeps on going. So I just see them in 100 meters just passing me by, just dang. Like at first I'm in the lead, but then they hit that gear. I only got one gear. I'm like, dang, man. And so, like, that's what I learned in track. Everybody specializes in something. Everybody has different strengths and different weaknesses. Everybody's good at something, right? Not everybody's good at everything. Now, very rarely on the track team were there people who could do every single event and be great at every single event. And even then, they suck at some of them. But every once in a while, those are people that are like just so good at it that they do the heptathlon, decathlon, anything like that, right? Because like they're just that good at everything. Those people are rare. I'm not one of those people, obviously. But still, everybody, God has given everybody a skill set. God has given everybody a gift and ability and the strength. And it's up to you to run the race that is marked out for you. See, my race was the high jump. I knew what my calling was. I knew what my purpose was. I knew what I was good at, what God called me to do. So I'm going to just do me when that event comes. They may throw me in something else. See, that's life. God may throw you in a race that you don't think you should be in. He may put you in situations in life that you don't think you deserve to be in. That's not my race. I shouldn't be doing it. But God called you to do it. Remember I said God called me to run track. I'm taking you to the track. God turned my track, you know, every single moment on track team at Tennessee State University, I hated it. I hated it so much. I didn't have strength to do it in my own strength. I had to literally just go to the throne room of God every time, before, after, in between track practice, whatever. Like, I had to get my mind right to go to track practice because they about to kill me. Like, I hate running. So the exercises aren't fun. It's not something I want to do, right? So, like, I had to, like, just go to the throne room, go to him, and receive all the strength I need so that I can run my race, right? No matter what race they threw me in. And when the high jump came around, my favorite event that I'm going to tear everybody else at. See, there's people that jumped higher than me. I don't know if y'all saw that on the program. I only jumped 6'8". There's Olympic women. That's the highest height for an Olympic woman. It's about 6'8", 6'10", right? I really jumped 7 foot. Like, that would have been my limit, right? So that's why I stopped running. If I'm not going to the Olympics, why am I running for it? Like I was saying, like when it came to the high jump, my highest height was 6'8". And so there's people that jumped higher than me. There's people that were better than me. There's people that been doing it longer than me. I only did it since my sophomore year of high school. Everybody else on the track team at Tennessee State University ran track since they were like 5'4". I was amazed. Like, dang, I didn't even know they had track teams at that age, you know? And so, like, yeah, when it came to the high jump, man, it was just about showing up, running my race, like, doing, I was so consistent. Like, one thing I saw with the high jump, where people's weaknesses are, is nobody's consistent. Nobody gets the same exact height every single time. Because I don't know if you guys saw, I never looked at it, because I didn't want to psych myself out when I jumped. I should have. But, like, there's ways you can hurt yourself doing the high jump. Like, freak accidents. Like, there's an Olympian who jumped over a bar about 7'8", 7'10", even probably 8 foot, and he broke his neck. So now he's paralyzed from the neck down for life, right? And so that's how dangerous, not just the high jump, but some events are. Obviously, the pole vault's that dangerous too, right? So you got to make sure that you are running effectively, you're training effectively, you're making sure that I'm taking the right steps, because you can hurt yourself if you do it wrong. That's life. You get put in the wrong situations in life. If you get put in a race you don't think you have no business in and you don't take it seriously, what's going to happen? Well, that's some people's life right now. You take 10 steps back when you've been taking 2 steps forward, right? So that's some people's life, right? So, yeah, we got to run with endurance the race that is marked out for us. So that race looked different for everybody. And just like with a baton, everybody's baton is different. You got blue batons, you got bedazzled batons, you got batons with sprinkles on it. You got different batons, right? So it's the same thing. Everybody's baton of faith looks a little different. We all got different skill sets. We're all good at certain things. We all suck at certain things. Obviously, you're called to do where you fit in the body of Christ. You're called to do your part. You're called to do what God wants you to do, and only he made you to do, right? In this race of faith, right? So you guys see it. I'm going to quit belaboring that point. So that verse says, let us throw off everything that hinders from that. Let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles. So the question is, have you thrown off everything that's distracting you from running the race that God has called you to run? Do you even know what the race is, right? The race is you're supposed to be reaching people for Christ. This is an eternal relay, right? So let me go back to that. Let me look at that point real quick. I can't wait to get an iPad like my dad and be not be lame like this. Yeah, so the question is, like, why do you guys come to church? You know, and we all come to church for different reasons. But before I go to Eternal Relay, I want to do a little test real quick. We're new here. So there's different generations in this church, right? So I just learned what the silent generation is. I didn't know what that is. So is there any silent generation people here? All right, cool. I thought so. All right, baby boomers. Any baby boomers? All right, Gen X. So that's from the year 1965 to 1980. I think that's called something else too. All right. Then we got millennials. That's from the year 1981 to 1996. Then Gen Z, and then the new generation's Alpha. Yeah, Alpha. All right. So St. Paul is a multi-generational church, right? That means everybody's called to do something different. That means everybody's called to reach a different type of people. I said earlier that this is an eternal relay, this race with God. So I ran track for a reason. I think this is why, so I could preach messages like this. So in this Christian life, I said, and in this life in general, it relates to running. Everybody has a race that's marked out before them, like Paul says. Everybody has to run their race to the best of their ability. Because why? Because a race doesn't last forever, right? Some people act like they got all day, all life, about 150 years to do what God called you to do. No, you don't. A race can end like that, and you don't even know when it's going to end, right? But you have to make sure in that span of time within the exchange zone that you do your part in the eternal relay. You want to know why? I mean, some churches are dying off. St. Paul's doing pretty good, but let's just talk about churches in general. You want to know why the world is so bad? Let's talk about the world first. You want to know why there's so much chaos in the world? Why the world is such a dark place? Why the world is filled with no hope sometimes? It's because there's been generations that have failed, especially this generation, whatever generation raised these kids that are adults now. It's because that generation has failed to pass the baton. What is the baton, though? That's the question, right? The baton is the Bible. The baton is Jesus. The baton is hope in God's word. The baton is believing in the resurrection. What does the resurrection do? You know, even though times look dark, even though it's Friday, Sunday's coming, right? Even though I want to talk a little bit about it more, but I got to keep on going because my notes are all over the place. But like, you guys get it. Like, the resurrection, what does that teach us? It teaches us that no matter how dark your life looks, no matter how hopeless it gets, no matter how dead my marriage is or my relationship with my parents or something like that, right? God can work it out. He can turn it around. This is the hope that the Bible gives us, right? It also gives us hope about love, right? Love your neighbor as yourself, right? Do good to others, even your enemies. Why? Because God is your vengeance. And the battle belongs to the Lord. So this battle that you're fighting right now, it ain't yours anyways. It's the Lord's. That's the baton of faith, right? Do you have it? That's the question. The baton is Jesus, right? And you can't run this race effectively without Jesus. And what's funny is in a relay race, if you don't have a baton and you drop it, you got to pick it back up. You can't run without the baton. And if you do, your team gets disqualified. You eventually have to pick it back up and run with it. But then if you drop it, typically you get disqualified if it goes out the lines, I think. I think if it stays within your line, which is rare, it's very hard to do, then you can pick it back up and run. By the way, it goes, the competition is going to pass you by. It's going to be really hard to catch back up to other people, right? But again, this ain't a competition, right? This is us focusing on ourselves and our race, right? So like all of us here as believers are running a race. So regardless of what generation you're from, it doesn't matter, right? Because we're all called to reach our generation and the next generation, right? So we might all be on different parts of the leg in the race. So typically there's four different legs in a relay race, right? But we are all called to run, right? And we are all in a race, right? So Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 26. They said this on the Sunday school lesson today. So do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run in such a way as to get the prize. See, when I was on track team, some people used to say, I want to be Olympian. That's what they used to say. I want to be Olympian. But I don't want to be an Olympian. But I work harder than you. And you want to be an Olympian? I don't care to go to the Olympics. But you want to be an Olympian? And then I'm not that good, right? I only jump 6'8". But, you know, my first track meet in the Ohio Valley Championship in indoor track, I cleared 6'6", and I came in second place. And everybody, I was ranked like 6th or 7th. I was so mad. I was like, man, I don't have a shot. But I'm just going to run my race. I'm just going to see what God's going to do. I'm just going to make sure to get my height and do my best and see what God does. And you want to know what he did? Came in second, right? Then my last track meet ever, I went against, I call him my, I'm not going to say Goliath. Yeah, he was my Goliath. Like, I had a teammate that did the high jump with me. See, I'm used to coming in first or second place my freshman year of college all the time in the high jump. And then my second year of college, when God told me to run again, I didn't want to run. So my sophomore year, he said he wanted me to show me some things. And this was one thing he tried to show me. So I had a teammate that came on and did the high jump. And his height that he could clear was probably about 7'2", 7'4". Like, he could literally get that. So he jumped way higher than me, right? I don't stand a shot against him. So he always beat me. So if he came in second, I came in third. If he came in first, I came in second. If I came in fourth, he came in third, right? I was always behind him, right? And one time in track practice, I used to always help out my teammates, tell them how to run the race, what they need to work on. Because that's what you do with the high jump, long jump, triple jump. It's all about technicality, steps, fundamentals. So if something's off, even one thing, you're going to scratch. You're going to mess up, right? It's about clearing the height. It's about jumping as high and as far as you can, right? And so Darryl, I tried to tell him what he did wrong on the high jump. He said, Sean, why do you tell me anything? I'm better than you. I said, woo. He said, Sean, you know I'm going to beat you, so why even tell me anything? I was like, oh. He just kept on talking like that, right? And I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, man, when it hurts you the most, God's going to bless me with beating you. He was like, what? Like, he's a pastor kid, too. He couldn't believe I said what I said. I said, when it hurts you the most, God's going to bless me with whooping your butt. And it's going to hurt. And I don't even remember saying that. I said at the very beginning of the year, last track meet, my last ever track meet in the outdoor Ohio Valley Championship. Man, it was a good day. I could not clear any heights, but I just kept on jumping. I kept on scratching. So I would get stuff on the third attempt. But I just kept on moving, kept on going. That's what you got to do in life. You got to keep on going, keep on moving, no matter how hard life gets, right? And so I ended up clearing 6'8". And so I had to clear 6'10". Obviously, I don't care to clear 6'10", because I already came in third. And Darryl was disqualified at the very beginning of the whole entire event. Because I don't think he cleared his first height. He just had an off day, right? Remember, I said I was consistent, right? I'm always going to get my height. And so Darryl, he came to me at the very end of track practice, and he was like, Sean, you were right. I said, what are you talking about? I was right. He said, Sean, God said, when it hurts you the most, that's when you're going to beat me. And you beat me your last track meet. See, that's life, guys. When you run your race and you run for that prize that God has for you, see, prizes are different. Medals come in different shapes, sizes, whatever, right? You run to win a prize. We go from glory to glory, victory to victory, blessing to blessing, right? That's the life of a believer. We're overcomers, right? You were made to win. You were born to win. Are you winning? Have you received the victory, right? So that's this life, man. Do you know that in this race, all the runners run? You got to run to win, but only one gets the prize. So run in such a way as to get the prize. That means you work the hardest. That means you put in the most work. That means when everybody else is sleeping, not trying, you go and you try some more. You get over on them. Being on the track team was like it was two different types of people on the track team at TSU. You got lazy people, losers, and then you got winners. And there's very few winners. So winners are people, obviously, who put in the work, put in the time. Do you put in the work and put in the time reading the gospel, listening to sermons? How much time have you spent with Jesus? You're not going to run effectively if you don't have the baton of faith in your hand and running it, right? Everyone who competes in the games goes in strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it
to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. This is, in this life, some people are just running aimlessly. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say you got some lazy people on the track. People that just like digging in their nose on the track on the ground, and they're not even in the race. You're on a track team, but you're just picking boogers, looking at the sky. Oh, the sky. Right? You're on the track team. What are you doing? Oh, partying, living it up. Life's short. You could die tomorrow. What have you done? Have you reached anybody for Christ yet? How many people have you reached for Christ? I'm curious. Have you reached anybody? Are you done reaching people? You're still alive? Man. So, man, Paul said, I fought the good fight of faith. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. Is that you? We need to finish well. We need to run well. You can run and get distracted and run off and veer off track and get off your lane and all those things. Or you can stay the course, right? Like I said, man, I got so much I want to say on this, man. I got just go to my YouTube channel, Upload Fast Crossroads. Let me finish saying this. Let me use a Bible example. So you got David and then you got Solomon, right? So David had a dream. He wanted to do something for the Lord. He wanted to build a house for the Lord, a temple. See, in David's time period, all they had was, tents, basically. So they had a tent for the Lord. He was like, man, God deserves so much more than a tent. He deserves a temple, a church, right? So the Old Testament story of David and Solomon, you can find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And so a man that successfully passes the baton to the next generation has ran their race the way that they should have ran it. See, it's hard to reach different generations, right? Because we got so many differences. Our slang talk is different, so our language. So people who are like 50-year-olds and 40-year-olds, especially 40, I don't understand the slang that they say sometimes. So like they're saying slang, I'm like, oh, what does that mean? You got to break that down for me. So the same thing with me. I say some slang. And even now, I know there's some people that didn't understand what I said, right? And then we just got different cultural differences. There's so many differences when it comes to different generations, right? But yet David passed on his dream to his son. So even though, you know, David had good intentions and made preparations, he didn't get to live the dream that he had for God of building the church. That he wanted to, the building the house of the Lord that he wanted to build for God, right? So there's going to be so many unlived dreams, not just in this life, but for different generations of people. Like some people are dying off, their time's coming, and they're older. So like you have unfulfilled dreams, untapped things that you didn't get to do for the Lord, and you're called to pass your baton on to somebody else to do it, right? This is why it's so important to have different backgrounds, different cultures, different ethnicities, but more importantly, different generations in a church. St. Paul's a place of different generations, right? So we got to learn how to work together. So when Solomon, you know, David passed the baton to Solomon, and David's dream became Solomon's destiny, right? So so many young people don't have a destiny because there's nobody that passed them the baton. There's no older people that told them the way, right? And then you didn't utilize the young people while you had them, right? So we got to learn how to teach young people how to exercise their faith. We got to learn how to teach young people and people who don't know the Lord, like show them how to run the race. If you don't effectively do that, and you don't effectively tell them and show them and pour into them, you get their generation left off in the church. Like you see in the Bible, there was generations that didn't know the Lord because people had failed to pass the baton. Matter of fact, in Joshua's time period, his next generation didn't know the Lord for some reason, because they were complacent and because everything was good and because they just settled. Is that what churches are doing today? Some of them are. So they're going to end up dying off. There's not going to be other generations to keep the dream and the blessings going. So we got to make sure when the younger full of strength and energy joins forces with the older and elder full of experience and wisdom, the results can be powerful and long term. So no generation stands independent. No generation is better than the others. Everybody's necessary. That's why generations overlap. And each generation is equipped with men and women created for that generation. So remember, I said there's a great cloud of witnesses, a great cloud. Every generation stands on the shoulders of those that went before us. So we build and we don't destroy the foundation that's laid out for us from them. So the church's success is determined by its ability to survive and excel from generation to generation. So the theme of the day's lay theme was living a global witness ministry that transforms, transcends, and liberates. So in order to do that, we got to learn how to work together. We got to learn how to build each other up. We got to learn how, despite the differences and diversity, there's unity. And there's strength in diversity. We need it. That's how you reach even more people in the other generations that are lacking. So there's a new generation coming. I don't know what it is. There's alpha. I don't know. I guess beta comes after that, whatever the Greek alphabet is, right? So, yeah. So, like, we got to do what it takes to reach that generation as a church. So this church, God's work is bigger than just these four walls. We got to get out there. We got to do the work. We got to run our race, mark the race that's marked out for us, right? And then pass the baton on to somebody else. Because as leaders, you don't get to run forever. I said that earlier. Your time is short, right? So you make sure you don't drop the baton, forsake it, and then don't pass it on to somebody else, right? So that's the sermon, man. Like I said, I got more to say, but yeah, let's just keep it short. That wasn't even short, but. All right, so let's stand for the invitation. So if there's anybody that doesn't know Jesus and hasn't accepted the baton that the great cloud of witnesses and the people before you have been trying to pass on to you, you can come and accept him now. If there's people who want to serve here in the church and want to do things, you can accept the baton of faith and pass it on to somebody else. Right now. So you can say how you want to serve in the church. If you want to come here for prayer and repent of dropping the baton and missing your moment in the exchange zone of giving somebody else the baton, you can come too and repent and ask God to help you to pass the baton on to others.
We know that God is a good God. And as Brother Sean has said, the doors of the church are open. And God has given you time to make your own decision as to accept him and accept the baton that God will pass unto you. There's a passage of scripture says that seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And God has opened up the door in order for you to walk through. It's decision time.
Amen. We all need God to survive. Thank you, Brother Sean, for a powerful word from God. He said, we all have gifts. We have talents and gifts. We all can use them differently. And we all have a race to run. And that race that we're all trying to run, we want to make sure we run it effectively. And the only way we can run it effectively is put God in charge.
Thanks be to God, for he continually does marvelous things in our lives. But you know, this is the day that he's made.
Yes, sir.
And we've been rejoicing and we are glad in it that we are able to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And to our speaker, Brother Sean, you can't tell it all in one sentence. But we thank you for your message today. You should make sure that we are passing the baton of faith. Okay? And in passing the baton, I just want to ask a question. What are you doing?
Well,
are you passing your baton? Are you passing it on to the next generation? Are you doing succession planning? Are you having somebody in place to take over when you leave this place, training people? It's all about what we are doing with what God gives us. And he gives us so much.
Yes,
and
does.
We're just so thankful just to be here today. You know, we have so many abilities and so many gifts. So we need to be doing something. Are we running? Remember, I think Sean said, this is our moment. So what are we doing in our moment?
Amen.
So we thank you, Brother Sean.
Amen.
And when I ask him, you know, he's just been bubbling over, bubbling over, jumping up and down. He was so excited. So we were so thankful that we could have him to give us a message this morning. And, you know, God confirms a lot of things to us this morning in Sunday school. One of the scriptures that I talked about was the one in 1 Corinthians 9 about running the race. We're running the race to win. We're running this race to win an eternal prize, not a temporary prize, an eternal prize that we will be with God and that we will hear him say, well done.
Yes, sir.
Thy good and faithful servant.
Yes,
you've
sir.
Been faithful over a few things.
Come on
up and I'll make you ruler over men.
Yes, sir.
That eternal prize that we're running for. God bless you.
Amen.
And would you come down, please?